So hi, Wilding Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Josh and Buck Cherry.
And we're asking some questions today about their upcoming album, Volume 10. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
Thanks. Yeah, it's great. You know, Volume 10, it's our 10th record. You know, we've been out there doing this for 24 years since our first record dropped in 1999. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing to have longevity and to be here after all that, you know. It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. The album rocks.
Yes.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Of course.
Of course.
It does rock.
It really does. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
The cover art is just a picture of the band. We haven't done something like that for a long time, so it was kind of due because we always do like artwork. So yeah, we just wanted to do like old school picture of the band and, you know, make it pretty simple. And it looks good on t-shirts too, so that's always important. And I don't know, was it a two-part question? What was the other part of it?
Yeah, it was just the title. Like, why did you choose Volume 10?
Oh, Volume 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the 10th chapter and we wanted to somehow incorporate 10. Mm-hmm. And we threw around a lot of titles, you know, that had nothing to do with 10, and it just didn't feel right. And, you know, and then I think it was Stevie that said, you know, let's call it Volume 10. You know, because bands have already done 10 and, you know, all kinds of things. So Volume 10 just kind of stuck, and I think it's perfect.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for this album?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have my department. I write lyrics and melodies. It's what I've done since I started music, you know, way before Buck Cherry, you know. So I do that to this day, you know, because for me as a singer, you know, that's how I get really passionate about singing a song like over and over again. You know, I have to attach myself to it in some way, you know, personally, and then, you know, craft it in a way to where you think a lot of people can relate to it. That's always the challenge, you know. And on this record, you know, Marty Fredrickson, our producer, who we've co-written a lot of songs with in the past, you know, we wrote a lot of songs together, he and I and Stevie D, my guitar player. And we have this kind of assembly line process and chemistry where we get together and crank out songs, you know, and good songs, you know. And that's kind of how it all goes down.
All right. And you had mentioned, like, you know, you craft the lyrics and the melodies, and like you have to have a personal attachment to it so that you can like kind of have that longevity while you're writing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And own it as a performer, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm not just going out there to sing, to be a singer. You know, some singers are okay with that. They're not lyric writers and they just want a great song to sing and they're fine with that. They just like to sing, you know, mm-hmm. and that's cool. But for me, I got to have all of it, you know, I got to be really attached to it emotionally and, mm-hmm. you know, then it helps.
And does having that like attachment to the song in all senses of the word, like, help you when you're performing these songs that you've had for the last 24 years that are like the big hits?
Yeah. Because when you're doing a song, like, you know, for the 1000th time, you know, and like a song like Crazy Bitch or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, for me, I just go back to that place where I wrote it and how inspired I was to get that song over the finish line and that it's fun. And then the element that it's a hit now, it just makes it so much easier because everybody is singing it and it's just a big part of the set, you know? So, but for me, I go back to that place and then, you know, it's fun for me to perform it, you know, every time. So yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
So what song off this album took the longest to write and which one is your personal favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I think the album is great from top to bottom, you know, worked really hard on it. So I like all the songs, but one of my favorites is Pain. It ends the record, you know, and it's kind of personal for me, you know, kind of describes a lot that goes on between my ears sometimes, you know, and that I don't really talk about that much. And, you know, I brought it out in song, you know, and everybody, you know, pain is something that we all deal with in our lives. And, you know, it is also the great motivator at times, you know. I have come to so many breakthroughs in my life through an incredible amount of pain, you know. So that song is like just really cool for me.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
And the song that took longest to write?
A song that took longest to write. That's such a good question. I would have to say Pain, because originally we were just, when we went to Marty's in Nashville, we had a songwriting session, me and Stevie and Marty, for about 9 days. And we went there. This is before we actually recorded the record with the band. And he had a piano in his house. And we were kind of just powwowing the first day, kind of getting a game plan on what we wanted to do and listening to demos and stuff that we already had. And, getting a game plan for songwriting. And I said, "Hey, when did you get this piano?" And he goes, "I just got that thing." And I was like, I go, "You know what? I want the saddest song you can come up with on piano. And I want you to give it to me, like, at some point, because maybe we'll do a hidden track and it just be piano and vocals." And he goes, "Okay." And then that was it. Didn't think anything of it. And then right at the end, I'm writing the lyrics in my hotel room for Feels Like Love. And I'm laboring over this song. And it's like two and a half hours to write this thing. And I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm like, "Okay." And then he sends me this voice note and he's like, "Hey, I came up with something for that piano song." And he sent it to me. And it was just piano. There was nothing else on it. So to answer your question, it started there, just two parts on a piano. And I just, at that point, I'm just tired. I'd written a lot of songs. I'm just grumpy. I'm in my head. I'm in a kind of a dark place. And I'm like, "I'm writing this fucking song right now, And I just got out and I just started tearing it apart, working on melodies, writing it. And then I came in the next day, I sang Feels Like Love all the way down. And then I said to Marty, I was like, "Hey man, I got something for that piano track. I want you to hear it." And he's like, "Okay." And so I just sang it, and me and Stevie and Marty are just looking at each other. I'm like, "This could be like really cool." And he liked it and he goes, "Okay, listen. Let me just sit with this for a little while. You guys leave and come back tomorrow and see what we got." And so we're like, "Yeah." And I didn't think he was going to do what he did to it, but I mean, he put drums on it and he added this midsection, and we came back and it was like this huge like rock composition. Like, it took you on this amazing journey, and he put that that midsection part, and like ended it with that crazy chord at the end, and it was just like a masterpiece. I'm like, "Marty, this is so much bigger than I ever thought it could be. This is amazing." And he's like, "Yeah, I think it's like Buck Cherry's like November Rain, And I was like, "That's so cool." So, anyways, I finished the melodies and everything, and then recorded it, and all of a sudden we were like, "This has got to be on the record. It can't just be like a bonus track. It's pretty amazing, So that's how it all
Yeah.
came about.
Yeah, it's a fucking
100%.
awesome song. And when
Yeah.
you're talking about like it's such a vulnerable song, like lyrics wise, even like 24 years into your career, is there any sort of anxiety in like putting a song out like that to the fans?
No, because what I've learned is that, people really know when you're full of shit. You know what I mean? So, like, if you are pouring your soul out there in a song and you're really digging deep and you're giving it all, it really resonates with people. And those are the songs that, stand the test of time. Those are the songs that people always come up to you and talk about, like, "Hey, when I heard this song, it really got me through this really tough time in my life." And we've had a lot of those situations over the years. So knowing that, it just, as long as you're just honest with like your approach as an artist, you're gonna find your way for sure.
That makes sense.
100%.
So how did the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, close a bit closer, just shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
Sequencing the record,
Yeah.
or what do you?
Like,
Oh yeah, we did a lot of different sequences, and it was a hard record to sequence because there's a lot of songs that are kind of the same tempo, so you have to be very careful. And so I came up with one right at the end that had the record starting with this or that, which was really cool. And then, but there was a couple little tweaks that needed to be done. And Marty's like, "I like this," but then he came back with his version of a sequence. And I was like, "Yours is better. Let's do this." And that's the first time I haven't sequenced a BC record, you know, and but his was definitely better, and I just like the way it flows. And you know, it's important to us as musicians, but like rarely does anybody sit down and listen to your record from beginning to end. They usually just listen to one song, you know, at a time, or you know, whatever they want to do. You know, they'll jump from, you know, the last song to the first song to the third song. But for us as
Shuffle.
musicians and putting it to bed, we want it to be all nice in a package, you know, so that we can hope that some people are listening to it from beginning to end, you know.
100%.
So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Yeah, my headspace was I was in a much better place because the pandemic is gone. You know, like when we went and when we were writing for Hellbound, all hell was breaking loose. That's why we titled it Hellbound. It was a great title for that record, and that record's great. But there was also just a lot of just darkness in the world, you know, especially America. You know, we had the election craziness, the pandemic. You know, we had all this stuff going on, and it wasn't fun, you know. And so I'm so grateful that we had that record to focus on. But cut to here, volume 10, it's time to have a good time. You know, it's time for good time rock and roll. It's time to have fun. And that's where songs like Good Time came from, and Let's Get Wild, and you know, and that's kind of quintessential Buck Cherry, you know. I mean, we based our reputation on our live show. I feel like I've always said it live too, like they called us in here to host the party, you know. They called us in here to get this shit fucking going, you know. So we wanted songs like that so that people could just rock out and enjoy their lives again, you know, and have a good time rock and roll looking.
Oh yeah. And I think you guys like set the stage with that, like with the Good Times music video. Like it's just a party. And it's like now listening to the record, I like get that vibe after watching that music video. Like this record is just a party, man.
Yeah, those two dudes are like me and Stevie when we were in high school. You know, it was like when we read The Treatment, we were like, this is like fucking when we were kids. You know, we would go to house parties. You know, when I started playing music, I was too young to play clubs. So we would play house parties in Orange County, California. And so it was bananas. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, somebody give you something, and you just take it. And like all of a sudden, you're fucking, you know, maybe you took some acid or whatever. And you would look at people and you'd be like, whoa, like their faces would contort or whatever. So like when we saw that in the video, we're like, this is great. You know, this is like a crazy night, you know, when we were kids, you know. And I'm not saying that to like push drug use or anything like that, but at that time that's what we were doing, you know.
Absolutely. So
Yeah.
how do you
You gotta be so careful, you
Yeah,
Yeah. We have these
definitely.
rules.
So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should they do it in the car with friends, in dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
Yeah, I think put it on, leave it on, put your earbuds in, work out. That's a great way to listen to records because you're not concentrating so much on, you know, the songs. You're doing something and it's kind of like background music. Or drive. It's a driving record. You know, put it on and leave it on and go drive. You know, take a road trip, you know.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your head. I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Oh man, that's so tough. Just a good time. I'll just say that, you know. I
That's good.
can't come up with anything else. Yeah.
That's perfect. That is
Yeah.
perfect.
Yeah, you know, one time I heard Freddie Mercury, like somebody got him and he was like walking on stage and like, what does Queen mean to you? And he's trying to get some kind of profound statement. He goes, I just hope people are having a good time. That's it. You know, that's all Queen is like, we're good time rock and roll, you know? And at the end of the day, you know, it's, I think that's, Buck Cherry's charm. You know, people know that they can go to, you know, we have a lot of what I call frequent flyers, a lot of people that go to multiple shows when we go out touring, because I guess they're enjoying it. That's what you can come to as an artist, and that makes us feel really good, you know. And they come because they want to just cut loose and have a good time, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
100%.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
I would just, you know, I'm really anxious to read people's comments, you know, songs that people are gravitating towards, like that are really resonating with them. That's going to be exciting, and that's something that as artists we don't get to feel that until the record actually drops. Like we've dropped three singles so far, and if you pre-order it right now, you can have those singles. They'll come up. Good Time, Let's Get Wild, and Shine Your Light. And you guys have heard more of the record, I think.
Heard the whole thing. All
So
of it.
you,
Yeah.
yeah, so you know that it's much deeper than that. So it's going to be fun for us when everybody gets it June 2nd.
Absolutely.
100%.
So you read the comments?
Sometimes I take it, like I spend very little time on social media because for me it can be toxic. You know what I mean? Like you have to be very careful. So yeah, sometimes I'll just glance and just take in the good stuff because there's always some jerk off writing some nasty shit, so you got to be careful.
So you're able to kind of like have that filter where you just like forget about whatever negative thing you may have just written and try to focus on the 7,000 positive comments that are there instead.
Yes, I do that in every area of my life with news, with everything. After doing a lot of research on like what all that can do to you, like just you have to be very careful what you allow into your being. You know what I mean? Not to get too like crazy deep, but like all that shit affects you, and you have to, the news affects you. Everything affects you, so you have to be very careful on what you want to allow into yourself, and for that reason, I don't watch the news. I haven't watched the news for probably, I did like a little social experiment with myself and I just stopped watching the news and to see how I would feel. And I felt great, And so on my like Instagram feed, I would like follow good news movement, and I would only watch like good news, like what people are doing that's cool and positive, And so I got kind of obsessed with that. And then, after studying like Tony Robbins and the law of attraction and this guy like Joe Dispenza, they kind of explained how important, how powerful negativity is. And you have to be very careful for what you allow in. And, especially young people these days, they have it really bad because they spend a lot more time on, social networks than, guys in my generation. So it's pretty easy for me, but the younger generation, it's harder to do. And I have kids as well, and I see what it does to them. So you have to be very careful.
Absolutely. It's
Absolutely.
definitely an uphill battle, just at least trying to unplug or distance yourself from just the hell that is outside, basically.
When I was in high school, I had to deal with like there was a line that I crossed going to school, and I had to like man up, because I knew that I was gonna be there was always some bully fucking with me. There was always some shit, and I fucking hated that, and so cut to when sometimes I go on social media, I go, this is like fucking high school all over again. I fucking hate this
100%.
shit. You know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna subject myself to this or get into this, and I have control over this, so I'm going to do that, and I encourage people that are maybe feeling that way to do the same thing. I mean, it's possible, so just do it. So what I do is I time myself. I don't spend more than I literally spend maybe 5, 10 minutes a day on social media.
I respect
I
that.
need that for me immediately.
You can do that right now. You have to set like a boundary for yourself and just say, this is non-negotiable for me, and I'm going to do a social experiment with myself and do it for 30 days and see how you feel.
I might have to try that. But also
Yeah, we'll see.
running
We'll see.
like a podcast that is very prominent on like social media and stuff does
You
make
guys got to
it
pay attention to that. I
difficult.
understand.
Exactly. And it sucks because I do want to like distance myself and kind of have more self-control over like everything that I'm seeing. But it's also like if Shane and I choose to do that and do like, I will say 30 minutes max every day on social media, there's a good chance that like everything's going to just go because like we're not active, we're not like interacting with people,
Not necessarily. You guys could set it up in a way to maybe you could have an outside person like, okay, you can tend to whatever you're talking about that they need to tend to, and you can spend less time on it. But it's up to you guys. I understand you guys are, this is your hustle, or I don't know what you guys do, but I mean, if that's what you're doing, then I understand, you know. I mean, it's difficult, it's challenging, but that's just what I'm doing, you know, and it works for me.
I can respect
100%.
it.
I'm very happy it works for you.
Yeah.
So are you able to talk about any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
Mean, there's always challenges when you're writing songs, you know. Sometimes you'll write a song and you'll think it's great, and then the next day you'll come in and you'll be like, it could use something, you know, the chorus could be better or whatever. There was a song on this record called One and Only, and it's now my favorite song on the record, but like we did it and I just thought the chorus could be better, and Marty was thinking the same thing. I came in the next day and I go, Marty, I mean, can we like revisit One and Only? I think the chorus could be a little better. He goes, you know, I was thinking the same thing, and you know, and before you know it, we just kind of ripped out something and it worked. It was like, it just, and it popped, because once we handled the chorus, then all of a sudden the verse was better, you know, it all flowed better. So made the overall song a contender, and then eventually it made the record.
Oh yeah. All right.
Wonderful.
So for this question, I want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Gas station for a rest stop. Oh, that's such a great question.
Thank you.
I love beef jerky, so I like teriyaki beef jerky, and they have these like little tins. They look like chewing tobacco, but it's not. It's shredded beef jerky. I don't know if you've ever
Yes.
seen them. You can
Yes,
only get
yeah.
them at like you can only get them at like truck stops, you know, like deep in the United States, like Love's or like places like that. And I always buy like five of them when I see them, because I don't see them all the time. And then I stick them in my like gum, like I'm chewing tobacco. It's really lame, but that's what
That's awesome. They also sell them
I
at
do.
the Dollar Tree. If you're unable to find them,
Oh,
like
really?
wherever you
Oh,
are,
cool.
yeah,
Yeah.
they always keep
I'll
them
check
like
that out. I
well
love those
stocked.
things.
Yeah, I need to try them. You've sold. I can act like I have chewing tobacco in my front lip now.
Yeah, and like I just suck out all the juices in the meat, and then it's, you know, it's got protein, it's, you know, and all that. Anyways.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
The dish would be good southern fried chicken, and because it's my favorite, I love fried chicken, you know, and it's so bad for you, and but it's so good, you know, and I think that, you know, Buck Cherry has those flavors, and you know, when we came out, we're kind of the black sheep of rock music. Like when we started, like it was like rap rock, and then it went into active rock, and we've never been a part of any kind of mainstream rock since we started, and here we are on our own little planet just making traditional rock records, you know, for 24 years, you know. So that's probably what I pick.
Oh yeah. All
Hell
right.
yeah.
So for the last couple questions, we're going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would
Death
your last
row.
meal
Yeah.
be with a drink?
With a drink. Okay. It would be fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, and the drink would be Dr. Pepper in a can.
Hell
Nice.
yeah.
For sure.
So if you could live in
And then
one.
just fucking kill me. Just get it over with.
Fucking awesome. Dying happy. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
One fictional world for a week.
A week.
Oh, wow. Probably Avatar. You know, that world would be really cool. You know, I really enjoy those movies, and I'd like to be one of those creatures with the big long tail and cruising
Pandora,
through the
yeah.
fucking, living in the jungle. That would be sick.
Hell yeah. I was like, Last Airbender or Pandora with the blue people, but Pandora, fuck yeah. That's awesome. Where you can like connect with like everything with like your hair.
Yeah,
Awesome.
you stick the tail or whatever they do, they can feel your feelings or some shit with the tail. It's pretty
Yeah,
cool.
it's so cool.
Oh yeah. So I have thought of asking the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is red, like red.
Nice.
Hell yeah, good
Yeah.
color.
Yeah. So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Really good questions, by the way, first and foremost.
Thank you.
I just want to
Thank
plug
you.
the record. You know, our record Volume 10 drops June 2nd. You can pre-order it right now and go to buckcherry.com for all things Buckcherry, touring, vinyl pre-orders, all that stuff. And thank you guys so much for listening to it and having good questions. I appreciate that.
Hell yeah.
Of
All right.
course.
Well, thank you for sound. It's been Josh from Buckcherry, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.